Hello. On today's show, we have violence, blood, and boobies, and Yay. Kingdoms, Hova. But it's not Hova. Game of Thrones.
Hova.
Shush.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk.
Oh my gosh. That's the talk during the first part of the interview.
That's the point.
That's the point.
Fun show.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk.
Music is really weird.
That's a lot of epicness.
We got real epic movies.
Yeah, I'm glad that people recognize that. Thanks for watching Otaku Movie Anatomy. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. We apologize for
being
a little late.
I'm not sorry.
Because we just wanted to amp up you guys, you know, for Berserk.
Yeah.
You know, it's the action fantasy that everyone knows or no one knows.
We were shouting boobies too much and they made us stop. So it took a while for us to stop chanting the word boobies.
We couldn't stop saying boobies. So today we are going to cover Berserk, The Golden Age, the first and second movies. The reason we decided to do the first and second movies is because we want to save the third movie for the Berserk 2016 release of the series.
I watched it already 4 times.
Stop.
We're not talking about that, Blitz. You're supposed to have never watched this. That is our gimmick, and you're messing it up. With us today is our usual character.
Hello, I am Michelle Chubby Bunny. You can
find me
on the internet, and I am a Chubby Bunny.
We are only doing
Russian accent. No,
okay.
Not even Asian does it.
And then we have our special guests here. Please introduce yourselves.
Going along with Rushka's accent, my name is Wes Johnson. I am Wes, the editor on the internet. I don't think so.
I invited them.
This is fine. Yeah, this is my real voice, actually.
I told them to come here.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Well, thank you for this, yeah?
And who are you?
I don't think there are.
I hate you. Just do it normal.
I don't think I've never seen a black Russian except in a cup or a glass and it's sweet tasting. So that's where
I am. Oh my god. If you were Russian and watching our show, we are so sorry.
That's
what
we know.
We know nothing about Russia.
We love you.
And I'm Maxwell Song. I'll be your host for today. And you can find me at Super Otaku Super Tech with you at the end because that's how we roll. So, if you haven't seen Berserk or heard of Berserk, what are you doing with your lives? Or you're like 12 and you probably shouldn't be watching Berserk.
That's
anyway.
About when I watch Berserk, actually.
When you were
12? First series.
To be fair, I also, when I saw Berserk, was very young. Way too young.
Yeah, I was like 14. That was messed up.
I think the way that they introduce it, I forget if this is from like the little standalone movie or whatever. It's basically like he's like kind of like having sex with this chick like in the forest or whatever. Mm. And then he like blows her up.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how it starts. And that's how Berserk starts.
Yummy, yummy.
Sounds like a Friday to me.
Indeed.
Didn't she turn into like a snake demon or something and then he murdered her?
No, there was another snake demon. There was like a different monster.
I'm sorry. Different lady he was having sex with. Got it. Okay.
There are many women.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about the anime or the manga version?
Well, that might have been the manga version. I was talking about the OG anime version, which came out 15 years ago. It's very old. And these new movies that came out in 2012 are these kind of like 3D, 2D movies, and this is kind of in the cusp of when like 3D movies were starting to like circulate more. I don't know why they chose Berserk to make a 3D movie out of, because it's kind of like the last franchise I would ever think to have 3D in it. Well, in terms of like the success of it or whatever, we'll discuss that later, but here's a quick rundown. The first movie is called The Golden Age, The Egg of the King.
Egg of the King.
And
if you don't know what it's about, you think it's the king who lays eggs.
No.
You do.
It's a king.
Let's talk about
king.
What I think it's about.
Okay, that is actually true. I give you that. Yeah, that is
I
what,
love Egg
that's
of
what
the
about.
King. Yeah, it's the king of
My
the golden
king.
Geese from Willy Wonka's
Yeah,
Chocolate
and
Factory.
It's like a brunch episode. Like, it's just so great, you know?
Yeah, let's not make kids actually want to watch this, because they're going to be in for a horrific
if
surprise.
If you are a child or thinking about being a child, do not watch it.
That's a good, yeah.
And the second movie that we're covering is the Battle of Doldre, which I believe in. There was this Golden Age arc in the manga and in the anime, which is, it covers basically Guts and Griffith's life.
Guts is
the main character. Main character,
along with Griffith.
Which is kind of the main character, but also is the main protagonist.
Yeah, it's, I like to compare. It's like
antagonist.
A Cain and Abel type deal.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
star-crossed brothers
mm-hmm.
as opposed to lovers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But basically, that movie came out in June of 2012. And then the third movie came out February 1st, 2013. We're not going to cover the third movie.
It's so good, though.
It is very good, but it's also very gory. Even more gory than these first two movies.
Al gory.
So the manga was created by Kentaro Mura. And this has been running from 1990. The manga has been running from 1990.
That's the year Wes was born.
And it's still running, is it not?
It could It is still running.
Wait, the manga is on?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't imagine what they're doing.
They're... Oh, my God.
I can guess.
Butts everywhere.
Butts, vagina, boob.
Game of Thrones.
There's a lot of boobs.
But it's so amazing how... Because the first and second movie, you get so in tune with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
The third movie, it's like you're now in tune with the universe.
Yes.
Like,
it shows more.
We can't
talk
about that right now, so.
Side note, just a little interjection. If you are on Le Chats, you may talk to us if you want. We'll ignore you or say hello to you as we please.
I'm going to say hello right now. Hello.
So far, we had like one person be mad and relate, and that's what it
is. Le Chats, which is French for the chat.
But you may talk to us if you feel like you want to.
We would love for you to join our discussion. there's a lot to discuss. This has been a very like huge, beloved series, at least for me. I don't know what it was about it, but it's like adult manga. This is probably Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones. Like, it has that same like a visceral tone. You know,
it's
like,
where Game of Thrones needs to finally go.
It's because in a weird way, like the first couple of movies, you just kind of get like the kingdom, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really see any of the like magical elements. There are like little specks of magical elements, like in Game of Thrones, and then you know how like kind of goes crazy mm-hmm. and like all the frost people come and all that shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically kind of how Berserk develops after the third movie, but the first two movies is this kind of like really good, kind of like a fantasy mercenary story.
Powerful boys become men in the first, like a powerful potential force. Basically, Griffith, who is already a force in his own right.
He meets
Guts, who is a reckless, powerful being. And together they become an unstoppable force, along with Casca, who is the third, and if you look at it at the trilogy.
She's also kind of like totally the love interest slash.
Yeah.
Who is always needing fucking help. Like, seriously?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
In
not
the
all
movies.
The time.
Yeah. I'm only talking about the movies. She's always fucking needing help.
I mean, she's not Lois Lane, but yes. She's.
I mean, she does mess up a lot of people. In the second movie, she like kills that dude.
Yes.
She like takes over a whole castle.
That's what she's better at. She's Black Widow, right? She's an assassin. She's the one
smart.
You don't see coming. She's a but when it comes to a stand-up fight, like she couldn't fight this one guy because she was kind of off balance because you know
period.
It was the
she
third
had
week
her
in a month.
Period.
She had her ladies problem
day. Yeah, she had a period and she had a fever and all sorts of stuff. She like passed out and fell off a cliff.
It must have been pretty bad.
Spoilers.
To be fair, that's kind of like a trope in regular manga. That's just like regular manga and anime. Like, I want to gambaru and try my best, but I have a fever, but I won't tell anybody. And then I'm going to pass out on the school grounds, and then my love interest will pick me up and take me to the school on Earth.
I always thought it was kind of a weird thing, too. And I'm obvious that this is more of like a trope, and I have understand that it can be a devastating
what
thing. Trope
but
like,
define it. Like, what is the actual definition of trope?
A trope is like a characteristic or a kind of like a subjective pattern that happens over and over and over again. So it's like a theme that happens over
within
and over
the
again.
Genre.
Or like an idea over and over again.
The more you know.
So, like, one of the weird tropes is, like, really strong women, but then anytime their lady times happen, they become just the most frail, vulnerable women on
we
the
don't
face
even,
of the planet.
We just we see that tunnel vision that girls gets, and we don't
feral.
Even know.
Yeah.
We want to be strong. We just can't because we have vagina so hard. Like, literally is what all these movies are saying.
It does kind of feel that way.
Yeah. But I don't know.
So let's just run over the first movie, first and second movie, real quick. We're just gonna run it through. So Guts is the main mercenary, the main character. He's kind of this loner. You know, he doesn't want to be owned by anyone. He doesn't really have a purpose in his life. He just kills for money to survive, and then he just repeats the cycle over and over and over again. And then eventually he meets Griffith. And is summarily just, he gets his ass kicked by Griffith, basically.
Yeah. Because Griffith is, he's like fancy. It's Hawk and Dove, right? Yeah. As Griffith is the leader of the band of the Hawk, he floats as a dove. He is, you know, he wears the white, right? Mm-hmm. But it's Guts who is like the Hawk. He's just like, I will murder Talons, you're dead.
He's the power with a giant sword.
And, he has so much force and momentum uncontrolled when he fights Griffith that Griffith is like, I will use all of this momentum against you because I've done this plenty of clank. I own you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he's like, I'm Griffith. I own you.
Okay, first of all, when he takes off his helmet, first of all, he, like, takes off his helmet, and then, like, this fucking Pantene Pro-V commercial appears, and, like, his hair just blows in the wind, and he just has, like, the most beautiful face in all of anime. It's, like, the way that they portray Griffith is, like, this beacon of, like, almost ungodly, like an angel.
Well, that's meant to be. I mean, you look at him, he's androgynous. Right? Like, he has both male-female features. Mm-hmm. He has this glowing aura about him, and he can inspire with so few words. It makes sense.
It's totally, like overpowering symbolism. Like, look at him wearing white all the time. Yeah. Even in his arm, he's always wearing white, and then he falls from grace, just like Lucifer. Like, you get it.
He's a white-haired anime boy. He's got to either die or become a villain. Like, the only two things that could possibly
happen. Any time they show him, too, is he's always, like, his back's the sun, so he's always kind of, like, glowing all the time. He just, like, emits his own light. Yeah,
they do, like, a, what is it called, Gaussian blur in his hair every time.
Yeah. if you think about it, it's because the sun is a constant explosion, and the cool guys, you know what they say about
cool guys don't look at explosions all the time. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that. So basically, the Band of Hawks is this team of mercenaries that are trying to fight for basically the highest bidder, but they end up fighting for Midland, and they're in a war with the Tudors, and so they're in this kind of, like, crazy battle. The Midlin have decided to take the Band of Hawks as a part of their kingdom to fight.
And Griffith has a plan.
Because if there's one thing that you can't get out of Griffith's mouth is the fact that he has a dream. Because he won't shut the hell up about it. He just, every time.
He'll tell his dream to anyone who fucking listens, like, left, right, and center. He's like, hey, you know I got a dream? Hey, you, come over here. Tell me my dream.
Can I tell you about my dream?
I was a kid, and I never looked up. But then I looked up once, saw a bird, saw a castle, had a dream.
I haven't seen number three, but why does he tell the princess his whole dream thing? Like,
because he's trying to smash.
My friends. I didn't really think that was his purpose at the very beginning, though. I think he smashed because he was Saiyan. He smashed because he's Sith. But before being Sith, he just, like, wants, like,
you figure he has this naive, you know, ideal as he's lowborn. And he thinks, you know, he can work his way up to being highborn, right? Yeah. He holds himself the way the princess falls in love with me, she'll break her father's rules.
I kind of thought he was corrupt to begin with, though, but I guess that's just me.
If anything, it's because he was so naive that all of these problems sort of, like, are created.
Does the little egg ding-dong give him... I just say ding-dong for no reason. Does the little egg ding-dong give him special powers, or is he just, like, powerful?
You'll see.
I mean, like, when we were watching, like, in number one and number two, so does it? Or is it just, he's just strong? Okay,
the whole thing is, I think it's not, like, a spoiler to say that, because the whole thing is, this is not really a spoiler. These are just covering things that you've already seen. The first two movies especially cover things that, if you've watched the Berserk series, it has gone through already. Yeah. About, I believe, episode, like... 18 or 20.
Mason Love says, Griffith is the most boss character. Don't talk shit about him.
No.
He's beautiful. I'm Griffith.
Look, no one's saying that he's not a boss. Lovely. All right?
But, are you Casca?
But he's
a life level. Love me. Griffith.
I mean, he's quite sensual, you know? He's delicate.
I should voice that Griffith.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. You should.
Did they dub this?
Why did no one ask
you? Is there a U.S. release?
There is a dub version of this, yeah.
I'll do the abridged version. Thanks, YouTube.
Yeah. I've got guts. He's sound like this, yeah?
No. Bring it back.
Damn it. Let's not ruin something that I really love.
Hello, everyone.
Let's try not to.
My name Guts. I kill you now.
You're my Guts now. Get inside me. I'm Griffith. I'm a dream.
I saw mids.
You guys are so amused with each other. It's beautiful.
Large sword.
Okay, if you're in the chat, I need you guys to vote yes or no if you'd like the Russian accent.
I'm just going to go out and just throw no. So, like I was saying, I guess the best way to put it is that it is kind of Games of Thrones-y, but when they encountered the immortal demon Nosferatu, which is
for
in the first movie.
For absolutely no reason.
Well, they're raiding him. There's technically a reason, eventually, but
it comes back around.
Yeah. The fact is, you start seeing, like, that this world isn't just, like, this fantasy world. There's all these magical elements that these humans, through, like, their warring, can't really see. There's, like, two boundaries of worlds in Nosferatu.
It's like real life.
Yeah.
You guys. There's demons.
Okay, first of all, I don't want that to be true. I really just.
Guys, when we stop the war,
did you see Nosferatu?
Yeah, I did. He's great.
He's like a giant
minotaur
dude.
Yeah.
Looked like
even,
a lion.
He's
face.
In the mortal too.
He wasn't even the right thing though. Like from texts, you know, like he wasn't a vampire.
Yeah, but they're Japanese. No one cares about.
Oh,
hey!
We cannot Google. We cannot Google. Now. Come on, get your shit together.
Google.
Get your shit together, Japan's.
Oh man. apparently, they're not. They think that you're doing a Borat accent.
God damn it!
So yeah, Russian thing is not translating.
Well, king of the castle.
We
king
got
of the castle.
Two people who want access and nobody said no. So why not keep doing it? But I
no more accents.
So you asked if the egg gives some powers.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It sets a tone for a prophecy to come true.
That's it. Yeah. Then why does it open its eyes and shit?
You'll see.
And,
because
you'll see.
The prophecy, the egg eventually hatches and. Wow.
Okay.
The way that it's explained is if you have the egg, you will be able to gain the power. Like, you are essentially king. You can become a king.
You can
access
something.
In
unlimited
return
power.
For your voice.
Now, what the question is, what?
Oh, no, that's the show after, guys.
Can you imagine if Little Mermaid was done in the version of Berserk? Oh by the
God.
Way, in the manga, there are mermaids. So I just
oh, really?
That.
That's
yeah.
exciting.
It's actually a really awesome arc.
Does,
They're
does
on a
Guts
boat for, like, 400 chapters.
Guts actually murders Ariel. It's pretty
yeah.
crazy.
Oh, fuck,
she just,
spoilers.
She's like,
sorry.
In the water,
don't
breaks her
Leo.
Back in half.
Don't tell Leo.
And then they eat flounder.
And they
great.
Eat her. And they eat flounder. And they eat her and flounder. They have sushi that day.
It was
a great day for all.
Featuring Hannibal.
My yummy, yummy boy.
Can I have three mermaid rolls, please?
The redhead, please. Thank you.
All right. I got kiddos. Come on.
So. What happens? Okay, so
I like how you're still doing the synopsis for some reason.
Well, I mean, we're just going through it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like whatever
yeah,
you
yeah.
want to
yeah,
like
whatever.
Toss in, by all means, do. Like if you want to, you know, put in terrible accents. Anyway, the point is, so Guts and Griffith are now just kind of roaming around doing mercenary stuff, like mercenaries do,
living, loving, making dough.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
people
yeah, yeah.
in the kingdom of Midland do not like the fact that Griffith is rising in power.
Strong,
right?
Unbeatable, nasty.
Because Griffith's main goal, really, is to make a kingdom for himself. So he needs to gain prestige. He needs to gain power from somewhere. And so his whole plan is to basically become a knight or... be induced into the kingdom by
as
the
royalty,
king. As royalty,
and then
as
smash
nobles.
The princess, and then suddenly,
yeah.
Oh,
smash
I feel
the
like
princess.
Smashing the princess. I feel like
was
not a part of his plan.
It was,
but not. It would happen
a bit soon.
Yeah.
In what year of our Lord
he
did we start?
Didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
In what year did we start saying smash as doing it.
It actually started as Japanese slang. In the Edo era.
I just can't visualize. Just
Tokugawa.
Don't make up shit. Don't confuse these people.
Don't Google anything Flip says.
No. All of it is untrue. Do not tarnish the good history of Japan.
When Amano Jaku.
All right. Synopsis.
So basically, Griffith is working his way up. He's doing the social smoozing, boozing. He has a class thing. He knows how to wine and dine. While he has a living weapon doing the dirty work. If you think about it, it's like Captain America and Bucky's combination. I'm going to bring it back to the West. I'm going to explain why. Captain America was the image of justice and everything. He wore the flag. He did everything. But Bucky was the person who went behind the lines and did the assassinations and the killings.
The shadow shit, yeah.
And this, it's flipped. Even though Griffith is more kind of like Bucky, in that he's not as powerful, whereas though Guts is like Captain America because that dude becomes the Thousand Man Slayer.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah. First of all, was that really 1,000 or was it 100?
Well, technically it was only 100.
I feel like it was 100.
But his legend is that he's a Thousand Man Slayer. Because I'm sure...
He slays hearts on the side.
Who's counting? They're all dead.
Every time he's on the field... And this is the thing I really like about it. I mean, especially if we're convincing you all to watch this. And this is the thing...
Is that what we're doing? The point? I don't think we're doing a very good job.
Well, I think so.
I quite frequently want you to watch it.
So I'm going to tell you straight up why. Because I think it's a great update. But every time Guts is on a field and there is war happening... He is swinging his sword, and I can understand how 100 can look like 1,000 after all the and Guts and Smoke is clear.
So it's just building up, actually. He only killed 100 people. He killed 100 people in that specific battle. It's like, what's the total up? Oh, it's 1,000 now.
Someone came out with a big novelty check. It's like, that was your 1,000th kill! Congratulations, Guts!
You get the big check.
Now you become a demon slayer. Good luck.
What happens? Guts is an assassin, like he was saying. He's kind of like shadow end of Griffith. And so he ends up killing one of the nobles that tried to assassinate Griffith. Unfortunately,
there was another noble involved.
Mm-hmm. And without him really knowing, he does kill the son. The very young son of...
Is that a spoiler? Because that's really intense.
I know, but it's so like...
But this movie also came out in 2012.
Meh, meh. You've had time, kids. Watch it. The manga's been going since the 90s, so you guys know.
So that's also, I mean, that was the first couple chapters. So he kills Adonis, and it's kind of like changes stuff in him. And then, I guess, during this emotional point in his life, let me finish, son.
Like Kafka-esque roach. It's really crazy. No, sorry.
I'm trying to throw some emotion into this man.
Oh, okay.
All right? So... He's covered in blood. Okay, so this is also kind of a ridiculous scene, right? So he's covered in, like, this child's blood, which I'm not fucking kidding.
Children's blood, and he's been cutting up all these people.
And then Cassius and him meet up in front of the fountain, and then he hears Griffith talk to Princess Charlotte.
In the speech that makes no sense for him to give.
Why are you, I have a lot of trouble with this scene
because he has no motivation to tell the princess all this crazy ass deep shit because he doesn't really actually like her. And then he's also dissing his fucking friends and you know he likes his bros. He likes his friends, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm willing to sacrifice all of them.
But you know,
if I could get them cheeks.
You know, because at the end of the second movie when Guts leaves, he's like so fucked up. He really did see him as an equal or something.
Yeah. Well, the idea was basically like, you know, Guts hears this and he wants to be like his true friend. He only thinks that the way to be his friend is to be equals.
His best friend. He says Shunin. He's like, I want to be his best friend, basically soulmate, right?
Star-crossed brothers.
Exactly, star-crossed brothers. But in a weird way, you can kind of think that, like, maybe it goes a little above and beyond just brothers. Like, they're basically kind of soulmates, or at least Griffith kind of sees them as soulmates. Mm-hmm. You know, he can't do anything with Guts, but also in a way, it's like his pride is tied into Guts' pride, you know?
Yeah, because, Guts is a weapon. He is the most powerful weapon.
An assistant, not a leader, if you will.
Yeah.
A project manager, not a CEO.
Exactly. Until the project manager was like, I want to become a CEO too. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he's going to feel a little bad.
Yeah. I want a raise.
Yeah.
So, that's how the first movie ends. The second movie, I'm going to run through this real quick.
Sonic the Hedgehog, get
him. It's 3 years later. Guts and Griffith are just still doing the thing, the mercenary thing. They're kind of like rising up in the ranks of everything.
Everything.
Everything. Of the kingdom.
Yeah.
They destroy a fortress, or they take over a fortress.
They take it over beautifully strategic
from the Tudors.
The one in the title of the movie.
Yeah.
Which shows, and that shows even how strategic and how much Griffith is willing to sacrifice, because Griffith kind of sacrifices, but
he does. Well, you know, you can't really tell because they don't really talk about that at all. It's really more implied, but it's so subtly implied. If you hadn't read the manga or like watched the series, you wouldn't quite know that there was some butt stuff going on.
Oh, there was some butt stuff. Dude was excited. This dude who owned this amazing harem fortress.
Harem of boys.
This dude, as a king, was like, oh, wait, Griffith is outside? Oh, we taking everybody to go see Griffith. I've been waiting for this the whole time. Except it's a war, so they're going to kill them. But the king dude is like, yeah, but you could kill them, but bring back Griffith unscratched, unharmed. Please, thank you.
Because I want to make out with his friend. Because
I'm trying to get some. And they took over the castle with that because Griffith was like, hey, I'm Griffith.
It was a poor strategic move.
It was. Yeah, and so he basically gave up the whole thing. So the second movie ends with Guts leaving. They have like this epic battle, kind of trying to see.
Just glossed over the like 10-minute ballroom scene, honey.
I did.
10 minutes of a weird CG ballroom
scene. I'm sorry. Actually, let me go into fine detail about the ballroom scene.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, interior castle. There is a ballroom, a beautiful chandelier floating around. The sun catches a it's a ballroom.
Bell and Beast in the middle of the room.
I'd like to point out, wrong movie, guys. Yeah. Griffith has a ponytail in the ballroom scene. It's very attractive. Okay, everything changes.
Fashion tips from Griffith for sure. So we're gonna skip that part because that's what they basically do. Eventually,
it's really long.
Guts decides to leave after the ball. They all come over.
It's a couple years later.
Really?
Because they're all dressed in they're dressed really nicely.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So Guts decides to leave after the battle
because Guts finally gets to beat Griffith, where years ago Guts fought Griffith and this time Griffith has grown kind of soft because he's trying to become law and he's not fighting as much.
Right.
But Guts is constantly training with his giant sword compensating.
Which, but also
cuts directly through Griffith's sword.
Yeah. He cuts it clean in half.
Yeah, it didn't even matter. Griffith was like, haha, and he was just like, okay, all right, bro. Like, and he had enough. He wasn't even swinging with his full strength either because he's just like, okay. I'm gonna leave now.
Yeah, he just kind of like pitched it. He was just kind of like, and then broke in half.
Ha.
So because of this happening, and I guess for Griffith, it's this devastating loss. And I guess it would be. So he has a lapse of judgment.
Boyfriend just broke.
And he just basically goes and boinks the Princess Charlotte.
He anger fucks Princess Charlotte.
He like straight up like he's way messed up. He's like having sex, but he's totally not thinking about it.
Who surely was a virgin.
She's like 13 or 14 at this point, too.
Yeah, but it's like the old days. It was the time. Yeah. Also, Griffith's probably only like 19 anyway. It's street legal.
It's like a little Adonis.
We're talking. Let's just pretend that this was a Game of Thrones book, right? Where that was no one's like, ooh, she's 14. Yeah. Like no one, whatever. It's a fictions.
Fictions, affections.
So what happens is that the king, you find out, is like all about his in a weird, creepy, incesty way, all about his daughter. And he traps Griffith into the Tower of Rebirth, which is very ironic because, technically, I guess, it does lead to his rebirth in a more fucked up way.
In the third movie, yeah.
Ooh.
And that's how it basically ends, that he's trapped in a tower. And then you're like, oh, no, what's going to happen? Yeah. And then You know,
there were,
we can't talk about
as happens. A whole in the second movie, there were so many lingering scenes where they would just be somewhere doing something like fighting or in a ballroom or getting ready for work, and it was just way too long. Like, that ballroom scene was legit. I timed that crap. That was like 10 minutes. And someone on chat just said, I'm done. It said, you know, it's foreshadowing. I'm like, yeah, but you can foreshadow that shit in like 3 minutes, right. Bro.
It's a lot of, yeah, but they really, see, the thing about the culmination of the third movie, they really want you to care about every last single character.
They do try to characterize everybody.
They really want you to care, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes, like, and I can live with it, because even as I was watching it, I realized, because I have a terrible attention span, that watching that, and I've seen, like, the movies multiple times, I turn around and I'm watching, and I don't really want to do anything else because I'm into it. Mm. And not many things can do that to me. And that's why I'm really excited about
it. I think the ballroom scene has a place. I think the pacing is a little bit off because for a movie that's supposed to move as quick as it does kind of. Okay, so here's a big issue with these movies, is that it's a mixture of 3D and 2D, which usually would be fine. But the only problem is that the 2D is amazing.
It is.
It is mind-blowingly some of the most beautiful animation ever. Mm-hmm. And then you go into slop 3D. Yeah.
But it goes into it for action.
Which
they changed it. Did you notice from the first movie to the second movie? The first movie, they were just like, okay, all CG, let's just do this. And they CG'd the faces as well. The second movie, they started doing half and half. And then I heard, I didn't watch it, by the third movie, they do half and half for everything.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, in a weird way, it is fine. And from the first movie, which was all 3D, like, you can definitely tell it's a little rough. Second movie, you see it's, like, refining it a little bit. But there are just moments when it just, like, you get this really epic shot. Like, one of the shots that I remember is, like, the decapitation scenes, right? So, you know, he goes in, and there's a close-up of guts, and you just see, like, this really cool, well-detailed action animation. And then you just see kind of, like, these really, like, plasticky horses with like shit, like with their heads popping off and stuff, and you're like, I could have used, I don't know, some more animation, maybe some like pencil, just something that like ties it together.
pencils.
Just give a little pencil line, just, I don't know, something.
Row pencils.
But it was very jarring throughout the whole series, and it kind of, even for the action scenes, the action is really good in terms of like choreography, but like it's still really stiff. It's still really, artificial, I guess, which is a weird thing to say.
If you think about where it came from, though, it was one of the first. I mean, as
2012,
at its size of production compared to the other anime that had done it, it was one of the first really big ones to do it. And I guess it did something right because of the fact that the three movies in a series. That's like kind of the opposite of what Community was trying to do, which is like six seasons in a movie.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good. And it may not have aged well, but the story and it's the consistency of it leading up to where it's going, I think that's worth time.
I definitely agree. And if I'm going to be fair to this movie, in 2012, there weren't many good 3D anything in Japan.
No,
like,
man.
3D in Japan was like kind of this really misused medium. They were just doing it because it was cheaper.
They had that bad apple seed. There was another thing that I can't remember the name of right now.
Sextile or something.
Vexile. Yeah. I love nerds.
What I was gonna say is, like, let me counter that a little bit because you know, around you said you're talking 2012, like when the first movie came out, right? Mm-hmm. Now, all right. So while it wasn't the best movie, the first Final Fantasy movie, they were doing 3D very well.
That's different. This is cel shaded though. It's different.
The difference between that and this is the fact is it takes two different types of rendering to do. Like, one is, okay, so the Advent Children movie probably cost millions and millions of dollars. For the Berserk movie, it's probably maybe like a third of that. And the reason is that one is just easier to do than another. Like,
oh, for sure.
And also, Square Enix is a company that's like very, very much used to like making
cinematic
3D, like, right. You know, cutscenes. And they've always been beautiful, and they've had a huge history. Studio 4C has kind of a rough history. I believe like they did, what did they do? They did Tenkan King Crit. They did Steam Boy, which was
their Steam Boy was fun.
Steam Boy was pretty good. Steam Boy, but was one of the first animation, like full length animations that kind of integrated 2D and 3D. Okay. So they do kind of have experience with that, and that's probably why it wasn't so shit. You know, it just was a little bit.
It was a little
more,
shit.
It was a little shit. It was a little shit.
Like just, my you son. Know, animation studios are still figuring that shit out, though. Like the cell shading, they're still having problems with that right now. Like, as everyone knows, everyone does, the new Sailor Moon reboot, first season, they were like, let's just use CG for everything because we don't have a lot of time for some reason, they didn't have a lot of time. And it looked like hell on Earth. Like, the CG transformation scenes were terrible. And they were like, okay. By the third season, they're like, oh, we should... They got rid of them entirely. There's no more cel-shaded CG at all.
So
it looks way better.
Some questions here. Do you guys prefer... I know you guys might have not been familiar with the series, but do you prefer the series or do you prefer the movies?
I love the movies because the movies get it to where it needs to be. Especially in this day and age with entertainment, really.
Yeah.
I think the movies, you watch the movies, you're like, oh, it's a good movie. And then you watch the next one, you're like, oh, okay. And then when you watch the third, whenever you get it, you go, whoa. And then you're like, there's more? And then it continues, and that builds. So I like the movies into and what it's leading up to.
Well, I'm excited to watch the third movie now if you're that excited.
Oh, dude. Okay. Yes, you should watch the third movie. Because the third movie is basically when all the stuff, like, all the shit hits the fan, but also that's when they start introducing, like, the more spiritual elements of it.
Cool.
That's it when doesn't it, even... Okay, so this is, like, this is... It, you can't tell from the first two movies, but this is, like, one of the most highest fantasy worlds in like, manga or even almost literary history. Like, the shit that they have in this magical world is dark... Fucked up, but also like the most fantastical. And the third is kind of like a taste. So we want to know about like the future, like what's coming up. There's going to be a series that's coming up that's based on the manga, which hasn't happened in the past 15 years. You got to understand how big of a deal it is for Berserk fans. This manga comes out maybe like once every 2 months. One chapter comes out once every 2 months.
It's been going on for a long time.
It's from 19 and this. He said, the author has said that this is like the one series that he will just continue making.
Until he did.
Basically. Or until he's bored.
He dies.
All men must die. Dang.
So it's really awesome to see, like, especially if you've seen the trailers for the new series, that you're going to start getting like the really, really cool shit. Like, it's so amazing.
Maybe I'll just wiki the third movie. I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
The third movie is super gory, though.
The third movie's worth watching.
It's the whole thing is, it's like, it's very mature content. It's kind of like...
And I'm not very mature. Stop.
Yeah. So...
I'm seven.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to, like, in this
series? I use Guts as... as he is the kind of trajectory that you'll be paying attention to, I'm excited because I see the path of where it's going. I tend not to read manga unless I've already seen the anime series.
Don't do that.
Oh, bring it back. Yeah. And like same with JoJo, which is back and now there's all new seasons.
Yeah.
And I love JoJo so much.
JoJo.
So, but taking that and seeing Guts, the first part of the series, it's Guts. He's a boy. He has great potential, and he's taken under wings of these other revolutionaries, or however you see him, that they keep him challenged. He becomes a man, a slayer of men, unstoppable.
Slayer of monsters.
That's the thing.
Man on monsters.
As he grows, he's a slayer of men, but after he becomes the thousand man slayer or whatever, because it's so freaky, there's no man that can touch him. Then he becomes the slayer of monsters. So that growth, that development from demon slayer to god slayer to god eventually, maybe even
OP.
Himself.
Let me tell you.
It sounds like Dragon Ball to me. I'm not going to lie.
It kind of is. The way that it progresses.
God Saiyans? No.
Yeah. It ramps up, like, so much. So if you want something, if you want to watch something that, like, has a very deep progression, like, the story is... There's so many facets to it and so many A, B, C, D stories out there in this beautiful world. You're going to love this new Berserk series. So we have very little time left, but what was your favorite parts, real quick?
Favorite parts? Oh, from one and two. I think any personally, anytime Guts, anytime they were fighting, I love the, like, I like the drama and it pulls me in. But anytime the battles are just beautiful and wonderful.
It was great choreography.
Really captivating.
They did a great job with all of their battle sequences, and it wasn't like, and like, you can tell Guts is just a giant person, so wielding the sword isn't that big of a deal to him. But all of their movements, it wasn't, there wasn't anything that I was just like, oh, that's super hyper unrealistic as far as his movements go.
Yeah,
you are a, it's very grounded. He's just like, and you just see him in that one scene where he like is blocking the shot, and then you just see his muscle like get like giant, and he pushes it back, and it's like, this guy has clearly been training.
That's why he just does
like,
this.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just like, okay, I swing this giant sword. I am literally a berserker. Like, his name is literally Guts. Like, Guts.
Arrows can't stop him.
Yeah, nothing can really stop this guy. Like, he's been in battles ever since he was a child. Mm. Like, this is what he's grown up. This is him. And he's one of those characters that I see, like, going forward as, you know, it's just like, no matter how powerful he becomes, so much bad shit's gonna happen to him. Like nothing.
Oh, you do not even know the gravity of what you just said.
Yeah, but that's how I see this character. Oh, it's like, it doesn't matter. You could literally become a god that will not stop shit from going wrong around you.
You're way truer than you think you are.
Okay.
I gotta say, on a serious note, I did like Casca's final boss battle with the bandage face guy was really good. You saw that they did every character's fighting style different, and she had kind of a more, it was almost like a Japanese sword style.
Yeah, more calculated.
Yeah, it was like a lot of like sweeping thrusts and stuff like that. On a not serious note, I really like when Griffith jumps onto the princess's window to be like Spider-Man and be like, I'm all gonna rape you. the part where he's just like looking in her window and the lightning's flashing. I'm like, dude, it's fucking Dracula up in here. It was so dramatic. It made me laugh out loud. It was great.
All right. Real quick, speed rounds. What do you rate it out of 5? First two movies.
The first two movies? I mean, I'll go 4, reasonably, because the third movie added takes it to 5 for me.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna go 4 as well. They did a lot of good stuff, and I'm excited to see where they take it in the future in the third movie. I haven't seen the anime series or anything like that, but definitely a 4 as far as those two, because I'm looking forward to the next ones.
If you gave it a 4 and you have not seen any of the previous series and have like no nostalgic like catch with it, it's done a good job.
Yeah,
it really has.
I really liked it.
Good point.
You were right when you said it earlier. You get attached to these characters and you want to see where they progress in the future.
Yeah, and it's gonna progress, Michelle.
Well, I read all the manga when I was like younger, and even back then I was kind of like, ooh, it's running really well, but ooh. I think the content I didn't really enjoy, but I'd say in its genre, let's do this. Let's play this game. In the genre of,
I love this game. This is my favorite game.
Yeah, gory, like action for boys, definitely kind of, you know, genre. It's like a 3. It has the movies. Fair. If you're looking at movies 1 and 2, there's a ton of pacing problems. The first movie kind of looks like shit for like 20 minutes.
For a
chunk of the movie, it looks kind of like shit. And then they start to fix some of those things in the second movie. And I hear it gets better in the third. But 1 and 2 by itself, maybe just start just like, you know, wiki the first two, and then we just go to 3. I don't know.
I would have to say, from someone that has watched the series, that the 1 and 2 are a very good comprehensive like chunk of like what happened, but unfortunately I will have to give it a 3.5 because they do leave out a lot of story things, like they don't really talk about Guts's like past. They just kind of gleam over it, and his past is way fucked up, so it's like he's basically a child soldier, whatever. So they just kind of like gleam through over what I feel like is very important character development. And for that, even though this is a good, I think the whole thing is this. If you watch a series and you know what the hell this is about, 1 and 2 is a very great reminder, and it's also a cinematic like look into what that series is like.
Okay.
And otherwise, like, the third movie is actually a part of the manga and totally shows you a bunch of new stuff. And then the new series is gonna like go over.
And I think it'll take you over Guts too. I think it'll take you over Guts past the stuff that you're missing.
Yeah. So
that people care, it's gonna be longer.
It's gonna progress, it's gonna be a great series, and I think this is a very good start they did. So that's it for us tonight. We got quick plugs.
I am Michelle Chubby Bunny. You can find me everywhere on the internet at I am Chubby Bunny.
I am Wes Johnson, and I am Wes the editor on the internet.
Thank you for that, because I really needed that.
Yeah, I know you did, Max.
I'm Flitz. I also go by Nerdsworth. You can find both of those names all over the internet.
And I'm Maxwell Song, and you can find me at Super Otaku. Next week, we have Avengers Confidential to celebrate Civil War coming out. So make sure to watch it. And we will see you next week. I bid you adieu.
You'll see them.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.